It's my pleasure to welcome to Around Cincinnati Mike Martini, a longtime broadcaster in Cincinnati who you can hear Monday through Friday afternoons now on WMKV. Mike is also the president of Media Heritage, a nonprofit organization dedicated to preserving Cincinnati's broadcast history. He can now add author to his list of creds with the release of a new book by Arcadia Publishing entitled Cincinnati Radio. Mike, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
245 photos, over 400 names.
Yeah, I tried to cram as many different people, different names, program names as possible. And instead of focusing on one or two performers and showing different photographs of them, I try to squeeze as many people in there as possible. And it covers the first 50 years, so 1921 to 1971.
Many folks may not realize that the history of broadcasting in Cincinnati is particularly unique. What are some of the ways Cincinnati did play a significant role in the development of radio in those first 50 years?
Well, Cincinnati has always been kind of a leader in many ways. Of course, there's the big AM, WLW, who for 5 years was 500,000 watts, 1934 to 39. So the most powerful station in the world at 500,000 watts. And, you know, as a rising tide floats all boats, the other stations also were very popular and very successful over the years and led the way, really, with some of the performers that passed through town, like Eddie Albert and Fats Waller and Doris Day and the Clooney sisters and the Mills brothers, and I can go on and on. But
and they're all included in the book.
Absolutely,
there are photos,
There's a neat photograph of Eddie Albert. When he came to Cincinnati in the early 30s, he was a vocalist. He was a tenor, and he sang in a group called The Threesome, and he never acted in his life. To his dying day, he credited his time in Cincinnati as the point in his career that he learned how to be an actor. And that's why we think of him today from Green Acres and all the movies that he was in.
Now, getting back to why Cincinnati was significant, it wasn't just the talent that was here and the wattage of WLW, but also Powell Crosley.
When Powell started in radio in the 20s, he was a manufacturer and, in fact, became the world's largest manufacturer of radios through 1926-27, and his profit line kept going up and up and up. And then when the stock market crashed, the radio manufacturing went down dramatically, but he was smart enough to also have WLW radio station, and he bought WSAI in 1928. And at the same time, in 1930, the profits of on-air broadcasting went up. So he kind of covered both sides of the bets. And he always employed the right people, whether it was John Clark as a station manager, Fred Smith. Later, it was Shouson Dunville. You might have heard those names. Over the years, he always had the right people in place to build what he called the Nation Station. And his other station, WSAI, was Cincinnati's own station. He was always ahead of the curve and certainly one of the major factors in why Cincinnati was so important around the world.
But it was very unique what WLW was doing.
I'm really proud of the fact that we were able to include a lot of stories about Everybody's Farm, which was a 700-acre farm across the road from the WLW transmitter. It was a real working farm. It wasn't experimental. They had wires strung out to the hen house, wires strung out to the milking barn, and on weekends, thousands of people would come out and tour the house. You were allowed on the first floor, but not on the second floor of the house. There was a real farm family living there. It was Earl and Mamie Neal early on, and then became the Connor family. And the family would participate in broadcasts as well, and they would do morning broadcasts every weekday and afternoon broadcasts. And they introduced the world to innovations that were on the farm. The farm family, usually a little skeptical about these new fangled ways, like rubber tire tractors or new hybrids for corn. And the announcers like Roy Battles and Bob Miller would introduce them to these new methods. And keep in mind, back at that time, America was still about 60-70% rural. They needed a show like this, and it was very, very important and very unique and very innovative for Cincinnati.
How did World War II change radio?
Well, I have always thought that was the halcyon years for radio in terms of its importance, its ability to flex its muscles. I mean, you consider the time before television when radio not only provided the latest war news from overseas, but had to entertain the home front. They had to talk about the latest scrap drive, collecting materials for the war effort, your waste fats, Red Cross drives, memorial services, induction ceremonies. Radio really came into its own as far as its importance. The nation relied on it, and it really, in many ways, helped win the war.
And there was a real shift to the DJ personality formatted radio. Was that a shift after World War II, or what prompted that?
It started to shift after World War II, and a lot of it was financial. Here in Cincinnati, one of the biggest factors was a fellow named Nelson King, who was on the WCKY Jamboree every night, sold baby chicks, sold Lord's Supper table cloths and tombstones from Chicago. Everything was PI, which was per inquiry, which means the people would send the money to the station, they would keep half and send the money on. WCKY at that time just boomed through the South, all the way through the South. And so they had to employ extra people just to open envelopes and dump money out. I mean, that's how much money was brought in. And his 1 3-hour program paid all the bills at the radio station. Everything else was gravy. So certainly that sped things up in the era when you could see one person bringing in all of this money, and you didn't need a staff of, well, at WLW in the mid-30s had 250 full-time people. So you didn't need that staff anymore, and I think that kind of sped things up as far as the demise into the TV age in the 50s.
What is one story that when you go out and do speaking engagements and people tend to always ask you about?
They always want to know about Mike the Radio Hound. Now, Mike the Radio Hound was a little hound dog owned by Henry Fillmore, who was a band leader and a great composer. He composed American's We, among other marches, kind of picked up the baton from Jean-Philippe Sousa. Fillmore adopted this little dog who had a wonderful talent of being able to bark on cue. And so left live performances, Mike the Radio Hound would come out onto the stage, sit on a stool, face the audience, not be afraid of the band and that. And whenever Fillmore would raise his hands a certain way, Mike would bark. Well, it's got to the point where Fillmore was composing music featuring Mike. There's actually a recording that exists today of Mike the Radio Hound's barks on a song that he composed for him. Mike started getting more fan mail than any of the humans at WLW around 1929 to 1930. I mean, it was a remarkable thing. He was known. They would go on walks down in Florida, and people would come up to meet Mike the Radio Hound. He had this beautiful jewel-encrusted collar. He was really a celebrity in town for several years.
How can folks learn more about Cincinnati's broadcast history?
Well, it's available in area bookstores. Also, we have a website with more information, and well as an index you can download. And I'm working on a little online encyclopedia to maybe celebrate some of those people that didn't quite make it in this time around.
And you also have a display at the Voice of America building.
We do. We have a museum. Our organization, Media Heritage, has the Cincinnati Radio and Television Museum at the Voice of America. Periodically, we have open houses. Right now, we're doing a little renovation work up there, but in the spring, we'll be open again, and folks can come by and see the museum and perhaps relive a few memories or maybe learn about some great history that a lot of folks might not realize.
It's been great having you here,
hey,
Mike.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Mike Martini, well-known radio broadcaster here in Cincinnati and the one who knows probably the most today about those wonderful golden years of radio here in our city, and a new book called Cincinnati Radio by Arcadia Publishing. For more information, please visit our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Robin Carey Allgaier.
What's happened? Where's Evie?
She's gone, see?
Gone? Ma, what did you say to her?
I heard her crying down here. I wanted her to come back home here with us.
Oh, what are you talking about? You surely don't want Willie Fitz and her and Junior here with us. There wouldn't be room for all of them.
I didn't want Willie Fitz. I just wanted her and Junior.
What do you mean? You wanted her to leave Willie Fitz? But he's her husband, Ma. She couldn't do that.
Well, why not? That's what I'd like to know. Wouldn't be the first time a woman ever left her husband. And she'd be a lot better off here with us than with that no-account scallywag.
Oh, Ma.
That's what I told her, too.
You didn't.